the U.S. Department of Transportation has awarded the community $25 million to build a cap over Fort Washington Way. Now the race is on to secure matching funds to make that happen. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss all this are Cincinnati City Councilmember Jeff Kramerding, Cincinnati and Hamilton County Project Executive for the Banks, Phil Beck, and Cincinnati Regional Chamber Vice President of Civic Strategy and Policy, Pete Metz. Thank you all for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's good to be here.
Yeah. So, Phil, the U.S. Department of Transportation, as I mentioned, awarded this $25 million grant. Explain which part of the highway would be covered under this project.
So we focused on, it's not enough to do all four blocks, if you will, from Elm Street to Main Street. So we focused on the middle between Vine and Walnut so that it would be directly north of the Freedom Center, and along with some additional modifications to 2nd Street and 3rd Street to make them more bicycle and pedestrian friendly.
Mm. Councilmember Kramerding, what's envisioned to be built or developed on top of this deck, this cap?
Well, I think certainly in the first phase, the emphasis on connectivity, connecting downtown and the Fountain District with the bank. So I think the first phase definitely is about connectivity and getting people back and forth between the two districts and growing both districts at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And am I correct that it would be kind of green space, that's the vision at this point?
Yeah, I think absolutely that's the vision, definitely for the first phase, and that's going to be a big part of everything moving forward.
Yeah. Pete, why do you think it's so important to have this connectivity between downtown and the banks and to start with this green space?
You know, the built environment really does define how people feel and experience your downtown. And right now, that experience is a disconnected experience, right? I work on 4th Street. I walk to the banks for lunch, and I hear and see and can feel the highway below me. I have visited cities like Dallas and cities like Chicago and places across the country who have built these highway caps and dramatically changed the way folks feel and experience their city. And we have that opportunity now to do that between the banks and the riverfront.
Okay. Well, we're talking about a project to cap part of Fort Washington Way, what it will entail, and where the local match could come from. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So, Councilmember Kramerding, you talked about how the initial vision is green space. Could there be more potentially developed on this decking in years to come, once all this comes together?
Yes. I mean, from my perspective, this is, you know, going to take us quite some time. It's been an ongoing project. I am at this juncture open for different visions. You know, I think connectivity and green space is definitely going to be part of it. But, you know, we don't know. Downtown of the banks could be in a very different place by the time this project is finished. So I think the first phase is definitely will be connectivity. You know, that's going to be a big part of all phases. But I think it's important to maintain some degree of flexibility as we move forward.
Yeah. Phil, I was mentioning to you all before the show started that I covered the narrowing of Fort Washington Way nearly 30 years ago. That's how long I've been a journalist back here in town where I grew up. This was something that was talked about almost from the beginning, the possibility of decking over parts of this. And one of the issues that came up back then was whether hazardous materials could be transported along a capped Fort Washington Way, which I know wouldn't be an issue coming southbound, because Lytle Tunnel already doesn't allow hazardous materials, but northbound, that I drive that all the time, and I see trucks kind of going over to US 50, maybe going over to 471. Is that something that's been talked about as part of this project?
Not with me, but we're just now getting into the details. This wasn't, to be honest, this wasn't a specific issue until we won the grant. So now we get into the details of the design, and you have Councilmember Kramerding from the city, Pete Metz from the chamber, and myself from the county. But our fourth partner is ODOT. So Ohio Department of Transportation is very much intertwined into this project. So we'll be coordinating with ODOT officials going forward. We do have US 50, which is also known as Maring Way by the banks, that is another option for hazardous waste.
Mm-hmm. And Pete, how many times has the community applied for federal funds to do this. This is not the first time.
This is not the first time, and that's not uncommon. We had initially applied for a planning grant to sort of look at the whole 5-acre park cap on top. We applied for a construction grant to do that as well. We ultimately, with city and with county, we revisited our approach and said we need to take this in bite-sized pieces and go after a phased approach for this project through a different program, the BUILD program, rather than a different U.S. Department of Transportation program. And so we were ultimately successful by learning from each of those applications, revising our program, and then also saying, how can we make sure we take this in chunks where we can design at the whole thing, but start building this in phases to really start moving? Because it's my belief that this thing is a huge game changer for our downtown, and getting that first tranche of dollars allows us to continue to move forward successfully on the future phases.
Okay. We do have some callers on the line. Hi, Matthew. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I was just wondering if with the new changes to the caps on Baring Way, if that will introduce sort of new accessibility to the already existing infrastructure on 2nd and 3rd Street, or if that opens the door to it at least.
Okay. Thanks, Matthew. Do you want to talk about that, Pete?
I can take that. I think that one of the real opportunities we see is the redevelopment of 2nd and 3rd Street as more front doors rather than back doors to our downtown. Having a park-like facility right outside the front door of 3rd Street, right outside the front door of places like the Freedom Center and the underdeveloped lots on 2nd Street at the banks that we know there's plans for, really should open up the opportunity to grow and change those two corridors downtown. If you look at Dallas's Clyde Warren Park, that's exactly what happened. All sorts of new development, new housing, new commercial activity came to those places because that park asset existed.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to weigh in on that, Councilmember Kramening?
Yeah, I want to first note how far we've come. I was just talking to somebody from out of town and about the narrowing Fort Washington Way, and you know, I said it used to all be on the surface. It was all surface level. And I went back and put up a picture. I think there was 20 lanes of traffic that you had to cross through from point A to point B, being downtown to the banks. So narrowing it and putting it below street level was a big step. This is another step, and it is an opportunity for us to re-examine connectivity along 2nd and 3rd Street. And you know, we've got the Brent Spence and the Companion Bridge going on, another opportunity, and this will be led by our friends in Kentucky, is the Clay-Wade-Bailey Bridge. Once the Companion Bridge opens up, that'll take a lot of local traffic off of the Clay-Wade-Bailey Bridge. And, you know, that could be have a bike or pedestrian component, which, you know, ties Cincinnati to Covington.
Covington, that's right.
The Purple People Bridge already connects Cincinnati to Newport, and there's a new 4th Street Bridge connecting them all. So this is just an opportunity to revisit all of that connectivity downtown and on the riverfront.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for that call, Matthew. We appreciate it. We now have Elaine on the line. Hi, Elaine. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What's your question?
It's not a question, it's a comment.
Okay.
I always wondered why Cincinnati did not have an above ground overpass with parks like they have in New York City and other areas in the country. And now I know it's been funding and this is welcome, but I think that people should realize that the funding wasn't there and that's why we didn't have it, because I always wondered why we were so far behind. I'm glad it's happening.
Well, great. Thanks, Elaine. We appreciate that. Thanks for calling. So what do you think made the difference in the application this time? Phil, do you have thoughts on that? Because it has been a number of times that the city and county have gone after this money with the help of the chamber and other partners. Why the win this time?
I really wish I was in the room as these applications are being discussed, because as Pete said, we've applied three times in the past and we do receive some feedback from federal DOT after the fact, and we always try to make improvements using that information. So I think that's part of it, is that our application got tighter and tighter. We targeted this BUILD grant specifically, which is better utilizing investments to leverage development, because it seemed to really cater to our situation with Fort Washington Way, CBD, and the banks. And I think possibly, I don't know this for a fact, but possibly the work on the Brent Spence Bridge adjacent to our project tied into this, because we're doing a lot of surgery in this area. So this is a great time to work on these decks.
Yeah, Councilmember Kramerding, do you think it helped that there is this plan moving forward for the banks, that there's kind of a vision that's being put forward, that where there had been a bit of a pause or on that project?
Yeah, I think so. The fact that, you know, Phil's leadership, we are moving forward on the banks, the city and the county are working better together than, from my perspective, we ever have. So I think that our partners in the federal government realize that. And you know, we've had a great partnerships with the state and federal government, with the Brent Spence, with the Companion Bridge, and also with the Western Hills Viaduct. So we've got now, I think, a track record of regional cooperation and taking on these big infrastructure projects and doing it successfully.
Let me ask you this, Pete. Now the community's got this $25 million from the federal government, and the community has to come up with a $25 million match, which is a sizable amount of money. What's the deadline for getting that match together?
You know, two things, Lucy. One, I want to also really give a lot of credit to our federal partners. We hosted a press conference last week with a bipartisan group of legislators, Congressman Landsman in the House, and Senator Husted. Senator Moreno was also supportive of our application. And we know that those folks were weighing in on our behalf in Washington, and that matters. And so I want to make sure that also gets recognized. You know, I can't speak to the deadline, except that we're already moving fast to secure those dollars. We already have, both in our application, identified a set of potential matching funds, but are now getting more granular with the city and with the county and with the private sector to say, how do we make sure those dollars are unlocked as fast as possible to move these forward?
And Phil, considering how fast things are moving, is there a deadline? Is there a date by which those funds have to be lined up to make this project happen and to really get this grant and make use of it?
In our application, we presented a schedule, but it's not a hard and fast schedule. There is some flexibility, but the first big step is to actually accomplish the agreement. So we work on the agreement, and then as we've talked about, we identify those matching funds and then move into design and then construction.
Mm-hmm. And the agreement, who are the parties to that agreement?
Well, the application, we took turns. I said this was our fourth application. So we took turns. Either the chamber would apply, the city would apply, or the county would apply. So this fourth attempt was a county application. So I need to ask the attorneys, but you know, if I just look at it straightforward, I guess it would be between the county and the federal DOT.
Okay. Well, we will continue our conversation after a short break, and we'll talk about some of the places that matching funding could come from. And later in the program, dispelling myths about antidepressants. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. You know, we're working on a show in the run-up to the midterms, and we need your help. What are the top issues on your mind this election? Call 513-419-7100, leave your name and a message, and we might use your comment on a future show. Now we're back with our conversation about capping Fort Washington Way, what the project will entail, and how much the local match could be covered. I should say how the local match could be covered. My guests are Cincinnati City Councilmember Jeff Kramerding, Cincinnati and Hamilton County Project Executive for the Banks, Phil Beck, and Cincinnati Regional Chamber Vice President of Civic Strategy and Policy, Pete Metz. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So, Councilmember Kramerding, what are some potential sources for this local match that needs to be put together to build this decking over this part of Fort Washington Way?
The first place that the city's going to be looking is our TIF districts, our tax increment financing districts, which is a great tool that the state legislature gives cities catalyzing growth. We can capture that revenue and put it back in the district. We've got several downtown, and you know, we've had many different iterations of TIF districts over the decades, so we do have some options there. So that's always the first place you're going to be looking from the city's perspective as a council member. You know, what the banks is critically important, downtown is critically important, but there's always going to be tension between downtown and the neighborhood. So the extent we can rely on our TIF districts as the first source will be very important, and that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. What about, I read somewhere that possibly Cincinnati Parks grants could be a source of revenue. Is that something you all might be looking at?
Yeah, our Parks Department has been very good at identifying grants at the federal and state level, Smail Park and others. So I think I know our Parks Department's been working identifying sources. You know, the federal landscape and the state landscape is often shifting. So we'll see what's available, what comes down with the current administration, whatever administration comes next, and continue what's been a very successful effort.
Yeah. Phil or Pete, I'm not sure which of you can speak to this, but what about other sources of funding? I've read that potentially sales tax or Hamilton County Transportation sales tax funds, private fundraising, those could be sources. Can either of you speak to that?
I can start, and then Phil, jump in as much as you would like. I think, one, we've always identified, just as Fort Washington Way was nearly 30 years ago, it was a public-private partnership under then-Mayor Lucan and the leadership of executives like Carl Lindner Jr. and John Barrett came together and raised private dollars to make this project possible. We fully expect that some private fundraising will be a key part of making sure that we bring together the non-federal dollars necessary to move this forward. And so we've started having those conversations amongst business leaders and continue to have them with the city and the county. The application also identified a wide range of sources. They include things related to the transportation levy that was passed in 2020. There is a grant program through SORTA, the Southwest Ohio Regional Transit Authority, that supports infrastructure, roads and bridges where the bus system operates. 2nd, 3rd Street, the downtown streets are all places where those operate. And so the city or the county could pursue grants through that funding program. We've also had conversations with organizations like OKI and others about ways to bring transportation-specific funding into this project.
Mm-hmm. Phil, anything you want to add to that?
Sure. I'd like to start by just saying this trio, the city, the county, and the chamber, is not by accident. It's very purposeful and very powerful. Has tremendous power behind it and reach. And that's a wonderful thing, because what that translates to is options. On the Banks Project, we've, since 2008, we've been extremely aggressive with grants and extremely successful, thankfully, at the state and the federal level. So we will continue with that mentality with this project. And you mentioned on the park itself, Parks Department and in particular Parks Foundation are very, very successful with naming rights. So that could be an option as well once we get the decks built and are working on the park on top.
Okay. We got an email from Lynn, and Lynn writes, "I'm not sure there's a long-term plan for the capped area over Fort Washington Way. Who is taking the lead on developing a comprehensive plan for this area?" I don't know who wants to weigh in on that.
So among the first pieces of the grant is the design and engineering of the infrastructure and the assets on top. And so that will be part of this grant. The good news is, well, we got the grant to construct the first block. The design and engineering work is for the entire project. And so we will be able to design and engineer the whole thing and build the first piece as part of this. And the application laid out that vision that Councilmember Cramerty talked about, which is a green space or civic space that connects the riverfront.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of doing that engineering, kind of laying that groundwork, figuring that out, who's in charge?
So the county, as the recipient of the grant, is sort of the relationship, but that partnership that Phil discussed, city, county, private sector, and ODOT are all in the partnership.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say in particular ODOT, because we can't do anything without their approval.
Yeah.
Since it is their highway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. They've been great partners.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And we got an email from Phil. Different Phil, who writes, "What are the next steps in finding general contractors for this, and when will that process start?" I'll let you, Phil, answer Phil's question.
Okay. As we've been talking, we'll be working on the application, securing the funding sources, and then we will be advertising for design team. Once we work through that design, create bid documents for construction. Per our application, we are scheduled to move into construction 2008 to 2009. So it would
2028
be
to 2028. Okay.
Sorry, 2028 to 2029. So shortly before we go into construction, we'd be bidding construction documents.
Okay. Councilmember Cramerding, we were talking about funding sources. Could the Cincinnati Southern Railway Trust be a source of funding for this match?
You know, this is a big project with a lot of different phases, but the initial answer is no. This is new infrastructure. We just pledged, repeatedly that the railroad funds would only be used for existing infrastructure that's codified by state law. So right now, this is new infrastructure. Railroad dollars will not be used for the cap. Again, though, this is a long-term project. We talked about 2nd Street. We talked about 3rd Street, which are existing infrastructure. Could railroad dollars be used in that in the future? Yes.
Okay. We got an email from Joshua who writes, is the goal to build as much DEX on Fort Washington Way as possible or go for Vine Street to Walnut only right now as the goal and build later? We kind of covered that a little bit, but Pete, I'll let you address that again.
I would say that the vision that we laid out, which is this 5.5-acre park spanning across four city blocks or parts of four city blocks, is the vision that our community and our organizations are aligned around. We know that we have to take that in phases, but the beauty is that once you get this first grant, the singular importance of this first grant is making this all real and knowing that we'll be moving forward on phase one. That doesn't mean we have to finish phase one before we go find money for phase two. We keep working to complete this thing as fast as possible, knowing that we're in the right construction window and knowing that as we go out and sell this vision and talk about this vision to the community, there's enthusiasm. And so how do we make sure we bring those dollars in as fast as possible to keep these phases moving sequentially?
Okay. We got an email from Stephen Oakley who writes, much coverage has been given to the capping of Fort Washington Way via the local media and press releases coming from the respective governmental entities impacted. $25 million from the federal government with a matching amount to be raised from the city and county and private folks for a total of $50 million. Now, Steve writes, total cost of the project at this time is $180 million. He's talking about the whole big project that you were just discussing. So that leaves a $130 million gap. No mention has been made as to where this very large amount of money will come from, nor has any mention made of how the care of these parks will be funded, city or county, as well as the tunnel underneath it. The time to ask these questions is now and not after the fact. Pete, what do you think about that?
They're all good questions, and they're the types of questions we're starting to answer as partners. There's all sorts of logistical and operations questions about who will operate, who will maintain, who will own. The good news is we've got the right people around the table. ODOT has to weigh in on the tunnel maintenance plan. The city and the county need to weigh in on parks maintenance and operations. And so we've got those folks together talking about those things. In terms of the funding, the reason this is phased is in part because the build program had a $25 million cap. So it should not go unnoticed that we got the maximum amount of money allowable under this phase of the build program. Not every award got the maximum amount. I do expect that we'll go back for additional federal grants for these other phases. And I think with the partnership we have, I would expect to be really competitive for those.
I guess especially after you can show progress and success and all those kinds of things that everybody's hoping for. Mm-hmm. So, Phil, can you help us understand? We've talked about how this is the first phase. The idea is to have a broader connectivity over Fort Washington Way. Explain again what that span would be. How much of Fort Washington Way would be decked in total if this ultimate vision is realized?
So we're limited by clearance from the highway down below. So generally speaking, we're talking about this first phase, Vine to Walnut, but generally speaking, the entire project is from Elm Street to Main Street. However, we can't quite make it all the way from Elm to Main because that clearance, the highway comes back up in elevation at either end. So we might have to cut it short. But yeah, generally speaking, it's nearly four blocks. And as we talked about before, if that does become a park, I mean, it will be a significant asset for downtown. And it's exciting to think about how 3rd Street and 2nd Street, but particularly 3rd Street, will evolve with a large, beautiful park right outside their doorstep.
Yeah. Councilmember Kramerding, that's a lot of land. I mean, to be kind of created through this decking, if that ultimate vision is realized, what kind of impact do you think this first phase of the project, but then that whole big project could have on downtown and the banks?
We keep coming back to connectivity, but I think that's just so important because, we are fortunate that we've got so many great things going on as far as the banks being developed, as far as 3CDC and the work in the Fountain District with the new convention center just coming online. So, you know, if you've got all that energy and you're just connecting them with this nucleus. So it just takes those three areas and builds upon it. Obviously, if you're I always like to think about, you know, visitors, tourists to our city, because, you know, that's the best type of tax revenue, that from the outside. But I mean, to be able to go from a hotel in the Fountain District to the banks, back to a restaurant that's next to the new convention center, it's just great and makes Cincinnati a place that people want to visit.
Yeah. Pete, anything you want to add to that?
You know, we took about 50 executives and civic leaders to Dallas 3 or 4 years ago, and we got all of them out of a bus and stood on top of Clyde Warren Park, which is sort of the prototype of these projects. And for a lot of people, they stand on 2nd or 3rd Street and they can't totally wrap their head around what's going to be different. Like, there's a thing that's going to go there, and do I have to go up and over and into it? And then when you get to one of these places and you realize that you're seeing a fountain that's tied to music, or a little cafe or a playground or just open green space, you stop thinking about the fact that you're on top of a highway. You just feel like you're in an urban setting. And so that's the opportunity we have here. And the assets we have on both sides are so important that I think what we will be able to do in bridging these two parts of our downtown will feel 30 years from now like it has always been this way, because it will feel so natural to be in this part of downtown. And that's the opportunity in front of us, is really to make it feel like you're just, the highway's gone.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking with Cincinnati City Council member Jeff Kramerding, Cincinnati and Hamilton County Project Executive for the Banks, Phil Beck, and Cincinnati Regional Chamber Vice President of Civic and Strategy and Policy, Pete Metz. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you, Lucy.
Up next, dispelling myths about antidepressants. This is Cincinnati Edition.